And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January the 8th, 2021, Season 16, Episode 1. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Hi. Hey, RJ.
What's up?
Been a good 2 weeks here.
Yeah, it is.
If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, or go to our website, ingamechat.net. You'll find all the links there to get in touch with us, whether you want to do that through Twitter or Facebook or email, or if you would like to, you know, watch us on our stream right now on Twitch, you can do that and join the chat room there live while we broadcast. I'm going to make some adjustments on the fly here as I look at my volume. You see that I was really, really loud there a minute ago, so I'm going to bring that down a little bit. There we go. Again, it's been 2 weeks, so that's all. Also, if you go to our website, ingamechat.net, you can also find our Discord, which is over here. Looking at there. Nobody's in the Discord chat room just yet, but yeah. So I'm gonna try and make a, you know, New Year's resolutions, right? I'm going to try and do better about the Discord and noticing when people are there and bringing them into chat with us and that sort of thing. Because I'd really love to have that, so or as an outlet for it. The quality sounds fantastic, so you know,
it does. No matter
why
where you
not
are.
Use it. So yeah, let's see. Yeah, those are the ways you can get in touch with us. If you go to our website, ingamechat.net, go all the way to the bottom of the screen. It's one of those websites that kind of refreshes, so you really got to go way down. But when you get there, you'll see all the different ways that you can get in touch with us. I don't have an IRC channel. It's been a long time since I've had an IRC channel. Hey, Retrode. Thanks for joining us. We got a lot of people in the chat room here with us. Mm. Well, it doesn't refresh on the users in chat. I've always that's always bugged me. Mm. That is always... See, did that work when I did a refresh? Not really. No, didn't. So, anyway... welcome to the show, and before we get started, let me do this. There. Get that out of the way. ICQ, there's another one.
That's a blast from the past.
I know. Mm. I don't know. Let me fire up Trillion and see if I can get all my... why don't we have a Yahoo... what is it? Yahoo? AIM? Was it AIM?
AIM. Yeah, AIM.
Let's get an AIM account going. So, what's another one? Like a Usenet group. I'll open up a Usenet group. How far back can we go on this? On the old bulletin boards. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It has been 2 weeks. We've been away for that long, and we should really just use the time to catch up, see what's been going on. And let's start with RJ.
More of the same.
Let's expand it. Let's expand it. It doesn't have to be gaming related. You could mention like, oh, no, took a trip up to wherever. I don't know. So feel free to just give us the, you know, the inside of your Christmas vacation.
Well, it wasn't any vacation, really. Just mostly staying home or going to the occasional family get-together here and there. You know, I guess no decorations. Because the older I get, the less I want to decorate. I mean, the best I'll do is put a wreath on the door, and that's pretty much it.
No
tree or anything like that, but at least better than nothing.
That was more than what I did as far as years previous, which was absolutely nothing.
Oh, well, you did this year.
Yeah, I know. We did this year. Which was not a problem. I enjoyed it, the fact that we did do it this year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in years previous, nothing. About the best I could get for Christmas decorations was whatever I brought home from a Christmas party or a Christmas gathering that had Christmas on it for some reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. About it.
No post or nothing like that. Just... whatever.
No. So you did a wreath on the door then.
Right? Yeah, wreath on the door. Pretty much. That was pretty much it. It's easy to do. Take it up, put it down.
And to take it down. Exactly.
That's
all
you do.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
Yeah. New Year's was bullets. Lots of bullets being fired because there's an ordinance.
You didn't go to a shooting range.
No.
It's just people shooting in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but shooting in the neighborhood. Yeah. Because there's an ordinance for fireworks within city limits or something like that.
So if we can't shoot fireworks, we'll just shoot our guns.
Yeah, but bullets will be the next best thing, right? So yeah, so there's a bunch of bullets, handguns, shotguns, something sound like rifles, but I guess it was a handgun shot really, really fast, I guess. So other than that, nothing really out of the ordinary. Some more gaming, really. So more Virtua Fighter and more Grand Theft Auto Online, actually. They had a special on this week, so I was doing a lot of that. And more solidified, more to the point that grinding is punished in this game and griefing people is rewarded, really.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at this point, the game's 8 years old now, right? So I guess at this point, everybody's got the only thing people get... Only people could get fun out of this game now is griefing people and ruining people's day. I mean, nothing like getting $2,000 for blowing up someone's $250,000 item that they were trying to sell off. So someone goes around there blowing that up, just messing things up for everybody. So basically, I've been finding ways to get around that. There's always a way around people griefing, you know, like getting your own personal public lobby and things of that nature.
Okay, I was wondering like how you had to work. I haven't put a lot of time into that.
I understand. Yeah, but so, but a lot of new people, a lot of new players come in all the time. You know, they keep offering a million in-game credit for every month.
I see those, and I get tempted.
Yeah,
because I think that's a lot of money in GTA Online terms, but it's really not.
No, it's not. It's not a lot of money. No, the way to make money in this game, you have to put out a lot of money to get it.
Okay.
Like, for instance, if you want to get the new, like, every new business.
Elaborate. Mm-hmm. Elaborate.
Yeah. You gotta spend money to make money.
Gotcha.
That's what you gotta do. Like, businesses.
That's a better phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, for instance, any business that you have, you have to buy, like, CEO. You have to buy an office building. That's gonna be about $2 to $4 million in game currency to get. And the most you can get, really, is going solo anyway. Maybe you could sell a warehouse that you have to buy as well.
Right.
You can get, like, maybe $250,000 during double money week, $125,000 normally.
Mm-hmm.
You can do little jobs here and there. The only way you can get, like, millions of bucks at a time is if you gather up and grind and grind and specifically. But it costs money to grind. As well sometimes. So you have to offset that with little jobs here and there. So that's what basically you have to go through. Like I said, people are going online blowing up your stuff and griefing you.
Yeah.
That's how they get their pleasure out of the game because it's been around so long. So you have to find little glitches here and there to guarantee that you get some return for your investment, really.
Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
But you still keep going with it, huh?
I still keep going. Like I said, I found some glitches and tactics and tricks, really. After experiencing all that griefing that I've been through,
I can
get a steady source of income. Best way to do it, really, the most reliable way is doing the Cayo Perico heist. It's a heist you got to set up. You can do it. The best thing about it is you can do it solo. You don't have to split the payoff with your partners.
Other players,
you can do it, you can do it yourself. But it takes a lot of setting up. It costs about 25 grand in-game currency to set it up. And you have to buy a... submarine,
right?
The submarine, the Kosatka, to do that, and I think it's about $2 million at least, a little over $2 million at least to get that.
What's the haul? What's the haul? How much do you pull
it? It varies, but it's like stealing this item out of this dude's safe on this island. It ranges anywhere from maybe $950,000 to $2.5 million per run, depending on what item is in there.
Every time you do a run, do you have to rebuy the submarine?
You have to reset up. It's still, like I said, it's 25 grand to set it up individually. But when you buy the submarine, it's yours.
Okay.
You can always have that to set it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So it's a one-time purchase on the
submarine. But setting up is going to be, you have to set up that cost yourself and do it over and over again.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense. I was wondering. I was like, well, where does the money come in? You know,
because
even if the money comes in and you got to redo it, you still got to spend for the thing. But if you own it once you buy it, then you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that's
better. Yeah, that's the thing though. Yeah, but like I said, it's it punishes you. It'll punish your grinder, but it'll reward a griefer. So that's how it goes.
Did you play anything else? Did you play anything new? Did you pick up anything new?
Did
you get anything for Christmas?
No.
All right. Well,
you get to a point when Christmas gifts are, you don't think about it anymore.
All right, then. Well, that's fine. All right. Wendy?
Well,
what'd you play?
I don't think I really haven't played anything new.
I think Animal Crossing, but
Animal Crossing,
really new, but yeah.
And then I watched you play. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we got some stuff to cover. I branched a little bit and decided to play something other than Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got into one of my games, one that I started and I was unable to continue with. And now I know that I'm not as dumb as I thought, because he's struggling, so.
Yeah, buddy. Sure, we'll go into that. So what I played was more Destiny, of course. That's just kind of always going to be on the menu. Right now, it's a little over a month before we get the Witch Queen expansion, February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm closing up on things that need to get finished, need to get wrapped up, need to get done before the season ends. A couple of weeks ago, it was Gambit, and I had to play so much Gambit, but I got to what I needed to do, and now I don't have to touch Gambit for until Witch Queen launches, but I don't have to touch Gambit for a long time. And right now I'm working on my Vanguard reputation, my strikes. I have to play those to increase my Vanguard reputation to do two resets on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working on that this morning, and I'll have to work on that. Next, it's double Vanguard rep week, by the way. Like you were talking about double money week.
Double money week,
so
yeah.
It's double Vanguard rep. So when you do, you normally get points for running a strike. Well, you get double points for running a strike now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play enough to where you start getting those streaks, I don't know if you remember the streaks that you would get. They introduced a streak system, so it started where if you it was only in Crucible and I think in Gambit, which are the PvP modes.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you won a match, that was one, and then if you won two, that's your second streak.
Yeah.
Three, four, all the way up to five.
I think we had to do that before with that that tower thing. We had to get a streak of like three or five to get this certain item.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the
I'm
streak
sure.
system we had to do. Yeah.
Yeah. The old streak system was in PvP, you play, and for every match you win, that's a streak up to five. And then it just keeps, and you get extra rep and stuff like that because you've got a win streak going on.
Mm-hmm.
They modified it now to where it doesn't matter if you win or lose, as long as you're just playing that activity, you'll get a streak going.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
I suppose you have to win. We have to win our time, which
but
is not,
as soon as you
not,
play,
not easy to do.
Yeah, as soon as you play something else, though, you lose the streak. So if you don't just keep grinding Crucible or Gambit or the strikes, then the streak goes away, you know? So, you know, that's at least five rounds of every single thing just to get up to the max streak that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm working on the strike part of it. It's double rep week this week. So that's why I'm, you know, grinding that out.
Yeah.
And then next week it's double Crucible week, so I'll be grinding that out. But that's my last one, and I'm already halfway through on that one as well. So that one will be pretty quick, he says to himself.
Yeah.
Good luck. So anyway, doing that, in between that time, I have played and finished, and I tweeted about this, and I would like to talk about it, but I finished Guardians of the Galaxy. Which I had picked up in November, Black Friday deal, I believe. So I finished that. It's a really good game. I've got some things to say about it, but it was a really good game. What else did I play? That was Guardians that I kept going back to. That's right. Once we finished up Guardians, you know, I was thinking, I actually got on there to start Mass Effect because it had recently got onto Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I never played I played the first one up until the train sequence where you have to disarm the bombs. And for anybody who's played that game knows how early on in that game it is. And that's how far I got the first time I ever played this years and years and years ago. I'm past that point now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I never played the first one. I played the second one about 75% of the way through, and then I never touched the third one either.
So now that it's on Game Pass as part of the EA Play thing, I downloaded it and started running through the first game.
Mm-hmm.
But I had originally logged on because I was like, okay, it's January. I think this is coming. I'd heard that Mass Effect was coming to Mass Effect Legendary Edition, whatever, the remaster.
Yeah.
I was like, I hear it's going to be coming to Game Pass. So I'll just go on there and look at it. And I was looking. And I was like, there's nothing. It's not there. It's not there. Meanwhile, I downloaded a few other titles while I was there. But Wendy had mentioned, why don't you play Hellblade? Because you haven't played that one. And she had tried to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, that's a good idea. So I started Hellblade.
Okay.
I got some things to say about that as well. And I also started playing a game called The Pedestrian, which is a really... It is my kind of game. It's a puzzle game.
Okay.
You move this stick figure through these obstacles and things, and I'm trying to think of how I could relate this because it's very difficult to say. Just for explanation's sake, you don't actually have this in there, but let's say all of your puzzles are hand-drawn and they're all on Post-it notes, right?
Okay.
So each Post-it note is one section of that puzzle, and at the ends of the Post-it note are little doorways. Well, you got a bunch of them in your play field, and so you need to line them up the way that they need to be so you can move them around for your character to go through one door to enter into the next panel, to go across to enter into the next panel, and do whatever you got to do to get to the exit.
Is there anything like Comic Zone?
It reminds me of that. Comic Zone Framed is another one, but it's just a bit different, just a bit different. So yeah, I've been playing that. I mean, that really took off for me. I downloaded it. I tried to do the stream thing because Xbox has a cloud gaming thing now.
Okay.
So instead of installing the game to your hard drive, you can play from the cloud if you'd like to. And you can instantly start playing.
How well does that work?
It works okay.
I'm about to say it all depends on your connection, of course.
It's going to depend on your connection, the kind of game you're playing, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For this game, it worked okay. There were like scan lines every now and again. Like if you stopped and didn't move, as soon as you did, you'd see the screen refresh a bit.
Yeah, see, I can't see that working with a graphic intense game or something like that. So is this game a graphic intense, The Pedestrian?
It is. No, it's not. No.
So for something like...
it's got some beautiful backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
but it's really not graphic intensive. It honestly isn't. It's got some very well detailed backgrounds, but it's not pertinent to gameplay.
Yeah. I'm thinking something like maybe Papers, Please, Gunpoint, games of that nature would be good for that cloud streaming thing.
That would be, yeah.
Yeah.
But something like
Hellblade.
No. I would never play Hellblade on the cloud like that. Not after having played Hellblade. But I eventually installed it anyway.
Yeah.
We were just playing too much of it, and I was tired of seeing the way it would move. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, install it and play it that way. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Pedestrian is great. If you are a puzzle fan, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. Pedestrian is... It's real nice. It's very laid back. It's very, I want to say quaint, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things that you can kind of just sort of relax. You're not, I think it could work. Well, it could easily work as a VR type game. Like I could play that in VR, not necessarily be surrounded by everything, but just to play it on a giant screen to where I can move this, move the stuff around. And then use the thumbstick to make him go through and do what he's got to do.
Because
there's really not a lot of controls to it. The thumbstick moves your character. You have a jump button. And then you have the B button, which lets you pick up things.
Okay.
So, like, if you need a key to get through another door, you can, do that. So.
Okay.
Anyway, that is The Pedestrian. I don't know when that came out. It came out a good while ago.
Mm.
But it's on Game Pass. So I was like, sure, I'm going to try that out. So...
I did. Mass Effect, just to talk about that just a little bit, because I'm not very far into it. Looks good on the remastered. I'm sure the other two games are going to look better.
Mm-hmm.
Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, they're probably going to look a tiny bit better than what Mass Effect 1 does.
January of 2020, The Pedestrian.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least according to Steam, anyway.
And the thing with Mass Effect was that it still engages me. I can't, the combat annoys me. I hate the combat parts of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Moving around with your squad or having the conversations that you have and doing what you got to do. I love those parts. I love developing my character with those parts.
Mm-hmm.
You're not developing your character when you're doing the combat stuff. You are, because you're gaining combat experience.
Mm-hmm.
But in the RPG sense of things, you're better developing your character in the conversations, not necessarily in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I realize in combat, they can throw some things at you that will determine, like, that'll do that.
Yeah.
That'll expand your character type of thing. But
I'll change the route of the story depending on the outcome of the battle.
That or some of the decisions you make during the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be in combat, and combat is basically just a mission where they send you down to a planet surface and you've got to go from point A to point B.
Okay.
And you'll run into enemies along the way.
I was thinking something along the lines of, if you don't take this guy out, that's going to change the story further on down the line. Something like a butterfly effect type of thing.
I'm not sure. There could be stuff like that coming up. There could be.
Okay.
But I'm more specifically thinking of a situation where you're in the field and you don't go back and heal one of your guys and they die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not being that squad leader type and protecting them or having them protect each other or whatever the case may be.
You lose too many folks and the trust of your shipmates is going to drop something like that.
Yeah, you're not using your squad members to the best of their abilities, I guess. Or you're making decisions where I'm going to go solo this, you two go down this path and go that way or something. Or they give you some choices to make, possibly. I don't know. It's very early in the thing. But I'm still engaged by the dialogue. I still had that feeling of, like I was playing it last night, and I still had this feeling after, once I got done with the combat, I talked to my commanding officer, and he's like, well, go do this. Tell him to go park the thing, and then we'll go whatever. And I knew that means he's going to park it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to, you know, walk around and have conversations again. But I was also like, well, let's stop here. But there was this desire to just continue on, you know, let me go at least park the ship. Okay, well, let me go walk outside and see what this looks like now. All right, well, let me go a little bit further and talk to this one person up there that they told me to go to, you know, just let me do one more thing, which is interesting because you normally have that with like Civilization, one more turn.
Yeah.
And so, there's this instance of like, well, let me just do one more thing.
Yeah.
And it's all it ever is going to end up being is, let me just sit here and play this for another hour.
Yeah.
It's what that ends up being.
When you said you were going to stop playing in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then 90 minutes later, where'd the time go? Oh, we got a comment in chat. Thor66 says, it happens once a big decision has to be made. So, this probably is something.
It happens once a big decision has to be made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in Mass Effect 1, I don't know. I never played through that. I only played through Mass Effect 2. And even then, I didn't get very far. I'm looking forward to playing Mass Effect 2. Because, I love the characters they gave you in that. I don't know who they give you in Mass Effect 1. Mm-hmm. But I can remember my team in Mass Effect 2, man. And I was I really loved my team in Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2 is really good.
Yeah.
2 was really, really good. I've heard the same thing. 1 is the worst, but I never played through it, so I kind of want to go through it.
2 they kept saying was the vast improvements they made over 1. I kept hearing that about 2. Actually did some based on the feedback, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, yeah, good game there. We should take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about Hellblade and my complaints and my praise. And I also want to do the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot more praise than there is complaints on Guardians.
I'm just happy you played it. You didn't play it like you did Last of Us 2. wasn't broken apart. You did it consistently, at least.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I don't play Destiny during the week too much at all. And when I come home, I would hit up the exercise, you know, I'd do my elliptical, whatever, then sit down in front of the computer and get everything done as far as whatever needs to be done work-wise. And then there's like this window of opportunity here between like 5:30 and 6 or 5:30 and 7, 6 and 7, something like that, where I've got an hour. So sit down and I'll play Guardians for an hour or an hour and a half, depending on, just try and get something, you know, a nice little chunk knocked out of it and keep going. So, but yeah, I do want to talk about those two games, and that is coming up. Music here from a game called, to look it up, you actually have to spell it the correct way, which is Chorus, C-H-O-R-U-S. To look at the game box, it's like C-H-O-R-V-S, you know?
Oh, the V substitute.
Yeah.
The weird font.
Kind of like, what's that band? Churches? Is it Churches? Church? No. Churches.
I don't know, but I know that the
C-H-V-R-C-H-S, I think, is the band name.
Yeah, but there's some fonts that just substitute the V for the U, and it just gets confusing sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Maltaran. He is in Discord. When we come back, we're going to talk to him on Discord as well. So yeah, that's all coming up. This is the main theme from Chorus or Corvus. I don't know, but we'll be right back after this. Oh, he said, and it didn't even work. Ah, there it goes. It's a delay.
Get it together.
I know. We're trying. 2 weeks back.
We forgot how to show.
All the time. That's every week. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, which released, I think, last month. A lot of the games you'll hear released last month, because all we did was play Christmas music last month. So I wasn't looking for new tracks to play for this. So that is what this is from. I believe Frogwares is the developer on it. Frogwares? developer and maybe publisher on that as well. Not exactly sure. But welcome back to the show. So I want to be more aware of what's going on in, you know, Discord and everything. So let's see if we can pull in, let's see. Hello, Discord land. Maltharan, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Nothing too much right now. Enjoying the show.
Wonderful. How was everything with like the Christmas and New Year's and everything else?
Christmas was fine. After Christmas, I had a short vacation sleeping in the castle, which was nice.
Ooh. Mm.
So, like, that was your vacation, was to go to a castle?
And yeah, sleep? Just two friends and me for 2 nights on the castle, basically just playing video games all day because the weather was so dreadful.
I was going to say, did you play any D&D while you're in a castle for whatever reason?
We are considering it for D&D in the future now.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we did play Dark Souls and Towerfall while we were there, so that was kind of fitting.
That is fitting. Mm-hmm. Very fitting. That's fantastic. Where is this? What castle? I mean, you can go and just rent a... Do you rent a castle, or is it just like a hotel?
It's kind of like some Airbnb thing. You can rent out some spaces there to sleep there.
Goodness.
Wow. Are other people there? Or is it just you?
We were the only ones there. There wasn't even any staff around. And so we had the keys for the big gate. And every time we went inside or left, people were very disappointed because we didn't open the gate for everyone waiting outside.
If that don't sound like the setup for survival horror, locked in a castle.
Love it.
I mean, there were signs around saying something about the castle ghosts and only castle ghosts allowed beyond this point.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic.
That's my kind of vacation.
I know, right? Yeah. We got to go to a castle.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's cool.
We have a lot of those in Germany.
Right, yeah. I don't know. It'd be worth going to Germany for.
Castle trip.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm taking my castle trip. Which castle trip? Go and stay in a castle. I don't know if you can top that by telling me any kind of games that you played or any games you picked up. I know you got some dice or something for some tabletop stuff you posted over in the Discord.
Yeah, I've been getting more into board and dice games lately again.
Yeah.
Kind of firing that up again. Also playing some more on Tabletop Simulator is helping with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because you get a lot of games for free for some reason there, and you can just play test them and see if they're worth the money getting them for you.
Mm-hmm. Nope, that's great. Yeah. Anything else? So what? Anything else you played or anything that stands out? Anything you did?
I got for my birthday, I got Outriders, which I've been playing the campaign with my two buddies. Mm-hmm. I've went on the castle with as well.
Anything else?
And lots of more Deep Rock Galactic, which is also on PlayStation Plus this month.
That's right, it is.
Yeah,
I got a free. Yeah, I got to
yeah.
open up the. Open up. I've got to turn on the PlayStation 5, and download my games for this month for PS Plus. Mm-hmm. Josh, if you'll hang on, who do we have? Is this Chris? Hey, Josh. Well, you don't have to hang on, Josh. You can still be on the same line while we talk to Chris on the phone here. I think this feeds to... This will be interesting. I don't know if you'll be able to hear him or not. In fact, I don't think you will. The phone doesn't do right on that. Well, whatever. We'll talk to Chris anyway. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear everybody else.
Okay, good. Mm. Oh, you meant for Josh and everything. Yeah, I don't. Josh. I don't think he can pick you up.
Barely. I'll just hang on. Yeah. But hi.
Go ahead, Chris. What's up?
Well, y'all enjoy y'all's Christmas vacation and New Year's?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about that. I gamed most of it, with the exception of when I got COVID again. Mm. That was New Year's. New Year's Eve. Mm, it was New Year's Eve.
Fitting.
I know.
Was it mild?
It was very mild, actually. It was... Now, I... Oh, okay. I had already had both vaccines, or both, you know, both of my vaccinations, and I had been boosted as well. So, and I don't want to diminish it because I know it's different for everybody, but for me, this round compared, especially compared to what I had back in 2020 when I had it, this was a mild cold, I think at worst. I had a fever for all of maybe an hour. When I woke up on Friday morning, and it was low grade anyway, 99.7, I believe, is what it was. Mm-hmm. And that was basically it. It was gone after that. Friday and Saturday were bad as far as the way I felt. There was not a lot of me doing anything Friday and Saturday, but by Sunday I was fine.
Yeah, so
Sunday was great, but I still had to stay out of work until I came back to work on Wednesday.
That's what I was saying about it. It was like, more contagious, but not as impactful as the first strain was. So,
I know people who got this stuff last year, who got COVID last year.
Yeah.
And by last year, I mean 2020. We're not far enough into 2022 to where when I say last year, I'm talking about 21.
Yeah.
But the first year of COVID, I remember people getting that, and some people got it bad. Some people were fine. Some people had it very mild.
Yeah.
You know, and my experience was much different than other people's experiences. Mine was horrible. But this one was okay. It was, you know, I didn't want to get it at all, but this was all right. I was able to get through this without much problem at all.
Mm.
Thankfully. I think there's still some lingering things going on as far as I can't seem to get my energy back up.
Mm-hmm.
Tired a lot more, or at least recently. So I'm hoping that'll get better. But anyway, that was our Christmas and New Year's there, Chris. Plus, you know, I made out like a bandit on VR referrals, by the way. That was something, man. I thought you could only do 5 referrals a month. Turns out you can only do up to $600 in referrals a month, which at the time was going kind of quick because it was $60 in the month of December. But it's now dropped back down. There still is a referral program, but it's now $30 per person. So, but which is still fine. $30 is $30 to spend in the store. So, you know, did you pick up some VR stuff, Chris?
Well, I had the room to one that you had talked about. If you had gotten it, went on sale, and I got it for like $10 off its usual price. I hadn't played it yet, but I'll eventually get around to that and some other ones on the VR headset and try those out. But I've always wanted to get into the Dishonored games and everything, and I noticed the sale, you know, just a couple weeks ago or something, about a week ago. They had Dishonored, the other one, and the Dishonored 2, and like 4 games for like $23 on PlayStation, you know, on a deal. I said, yeah, that was the time to pick all those up, and I've been starting on Dishonored 1 and going through it.
Okay. I was wondering, because we were talking about VR, and I thought, is there a VR application for Dishonored? Because that would be awesome if there was. I mean, it's a first-person game, so it's kind of, you know, the VR is there for you. As far as the viewpoint you could have. But yeah. Oh, wow. No. I'm sorry. Josh just posted pictures of the castle that he was staying in. Look at that. Oh, you don't have Discord,
don't have
do you? Oh, you don't have Discord.
Oh, goodness.
I have to show you when you can look on that computer.
Yeah, there. That vacation of his sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Thank you for that. And then like this one here.
Yeah, when he said castle, he meant that is castle. Yeah,
he's hanging out in a room in a castle doing their thing. Look at that. Well, let's see what they're drinking. What are they drinking? I see what they're drinking.
Good stuff.
Now is that a retro? Yeah, that little thing right there looks like a retro SNES, I believe. But anyway, sorry, he posted. If you want to see these pictures, you got to go to our Discord to do it. So, you know, log into our Discord. You can find our Discord at our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. You'll see a link to go to our Discord. Pop right in, and you can check out those pictures of the castle that Josh stayed at. What else did you do, Chris? Anything else?
I found a couple other games on sale on the New Year's sale or on a PlayStation store sale. I got Torchlight 2 and 3 for like $5 and $7 a piece or something like that. They're kind of like Diablo 3 or, you know, similar to that. So I've been keeping my eye on those. I'll play them down the road.
Yeah.
And then there's another 3D survival game against robots and stuff. I think it was called Generation Zero, and they had all the DLC and everything in a bundle for like $20 on it. So I bought it too to play down the road. So I've got a lot of digital stuff I can download and use with the good internet I've got now, and to enjoy some stuff further down the road eventually, hopefully.
Well, good, man. What have you played in the and maybe you already told me, but I know you picked up The Room, but what have you played, like, VR? Have you played anything VR?
I really haven't played anything since I set it up and played a little bit in some of the different games and everything, but I really hadn't turned it on and put it back on and did anything. Even though that I got The Room VR and everything, I bought it when it went on sale. But I just hadn't done anything with it yet. But I'll get around to that. Hopefully, sometime break it out after a while.
Sorry, I'm just correcting someone in chat. There thought they were in the wrong IGC Discord. They're actually, I think they're in the right one. I don't know. AC Wraith, I'll contact you on Discord and get you a link there so you can get in there. Chris, thank you so much for calling. I'm going to talk about some of the VR stuff I played, so listen to that, because I picked up one or two I definitely picked up one that I really enjoyed, and it's strange. I don't want to say it's strange how I enjoyed it, but it's just amazing how well it works. But I'll be talking about that as well. Also Guardians, also Hellblade. Probably not until after the break here, because we got about 7 minutes till the top of the hour, which is how this goes for us. But I appreciate you calling in, Chris. Glad you had a great Christmas and a great New Year's, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yeah, me and my immediate supervisor, Melissa, had a longer vacation. One of our coworkers ended up getting COVID, and because we're unvaccinated and everything, you know, of course it was on the weekend when it happened, so it was like Friday. I you know, he tested positive, so we got the call from our supervisor and everything. Of course, I never did come down with a fever, and I was fine the whole time. But, you know, through the ALDOT's requirements and everything, we had to stay out a minimum of 5 days.
Yeah.
Or 10 days without a COVID test. And basically 10 days would have been after Christmas, regardless if it was 5 or 10 days. So, you know, we got the whole week off and came back, you know, that's the Monday after Christmas. So regardless if we wanted to get a test or not, you know, it would have been Monday regardless. So we had another whole week by ourselves that we could do whatever we wanted to. So got a longer vacation than expected, but
yeah, I mean, I got a little, I mean, if you want to call it a vacation, I had a, it's hard to feel like a vacation when you're sick through it. Cause my Friday and Saturday was not great. And then, of course, I was actually ready to come back to work on Monday, but there was no, you stay home until this, until you wait out your 5 days, and then you can come back. I'm kind of glad I did that, because if I'm feeling kind of wore out now after, you know, just 3 days of being back, I guess, then it's probably not a good idea to come back on Monday, and I'm glad I didn't. So, well, Chris, take care, buddy, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too, man.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Josh posted in our in-game chat Discord, which again, I don't know. AC Wraith's probably in the wrong one there.
Still in the old one.
Yeah, I'm thinking so. If you, you know what? Let me just, I can find him. We'll do this during a break that's coming up, but in the break, I'll get him in there. And you can see those pictures of the castle that he stayed at. It's really, really awesome that you got to do that. That's really cool. Have you, by the way, I wanted to ask you, have you jumped into the VR thing at all or no?
Not at the moment, no. I'm basically waiting for a little bit more financial stability and the PSVR 2 thing,
PSVR 2? Yeah, that was announced. That's fine. Have you played Hellblade?
Nope.
Okay, well.
But I know of it.
I know. I'm just trying to get an idea if this was not necessarily unique to me, But if anybody else ran into the same issues that I had while playing it. So anyway, we're going to go over that in the next segment as well. As did you play Guardians of the Galaxy at all? Probably not.
Nope, I didn't get around to that.
Just curious.
But it looks fun. I can probably lend it from a friend sometime down the line.
Yeah, it is a one and done kind of game. There is not there's no DLC that's planned for it. There's no leaderboards or any kind of
pure story.
Yeah, outside of going back and picking up collectibles. I mean, they got a new game plus, but outside of going back and picking up collectibles, that's it. You go through the story and you're good. There is really nothing else.
I'm more than fine with a game like that.
I totally am as well. Yeah. Especially since it was on sale. I picked it up for $25. That's not a bad thing for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you can find it at a reduced price, pick it up. Although, I think I still would have been satisfied if I'd paid full price for that game. Just for what everything that I got out of it and how much I enjoyed it. Got some problems with it, and I'll be talking about those when we come back. But yeah, you had mentioned the PlayStation VR 2. Still a ways away from what I understand, right?
Yeah, but at least we had some life science in the news recently again.
Oh yeah, no. That's fantastic. First off, we got a name. It's PlayStation VR 2. We weren't sure what they were going to call it. It'll have 4K HDR OLED panels, 110-degree field of view, which is good. The bigger the field of view, the better, really. The panels will have a resolution of 2000 by 2040 per eye and frame rates of 90 to 120 hertz. They're going to have eye tracking. We talked about that. The eye tracking is going to be amazing. If it works right, the eye tracking will be fantastic. Eye tracking is something they need to put in the Quest whenever they do a 3 or whatever they're doing. Eye tracking helps so much with the headset knowing where your intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to pick up a grenade and throw it in VR, eye tracking is going to be able to see that, notice where I'm looking, and say, mm-hmm. Well, he intended to throw it in that direction, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can really benefit your VR stuff with some eye tracking. I'm not sure of any others. I don't know of any other headsets that have eye tracking. I know there are some eye tracking. There's eye track. I've messed around with eye tracking in laptops and stuff when I was at was it E3 or PAX? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. One of those. It was I think it was an MSI laptop. I played Assassin's Creed with eye tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird, but it was just kind of a demo of how it worked.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
There was also this indie game recently that got pretty good reviews that involves something with eyes and blinking, I think.
That's right. I can't remember the name of it.
Me neither.
I have it bookmarked though, because I wanted to remember that and
your
go
eyes?
Back to it.
Huh? Could that be Before Your Eyes?
Before Your Eyes. That's what it's called. So Before Your Eyes does this thing where it has to track your eyes because it needs to register when you blink. So it tells the story, or it's telling a story about this kid growing up. And every time you blink, it skips ahead in the story to show just how fast the passage of time happens in someone's life as they grow older and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, and so it's one of those things where you need to just continually watch it, but you will eventually have to blink. And then you've got to put the puzzle together of, well, now why is his parents mad at him? What did he do? Why is he mad at his parents or feeling this way or whatever the case may be?
So basically what I miss.
You've kind of got to figure out what you've missed.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if that's it. I don't know if you just sit there and play the game that way, and when it's done, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's some sort of objective for you to actually input and do or whatever. So
it sounds like something you'd have to investigate and search. You have to look at clues and what people say and what things are lying around. You have to look at and Yeah, basically investigate what happened to find out exactly what you missed. Yeah. Sounds like something some genre would be like an amnesiac, someone who's suffering amnesia, and then they got to go backtrack constantly to find out what they've missed out on. That'd be something else. I don't know if anyone's ever done that game wise. Probably has. I just haven't known about it. But that would be something to go into. It sounds like something that would be applying to this as well. Because like you said, if you blink, you're going to miss things the way you blink.
You play the role of someone who has just recently died, and to gain passage into the afterlife, you have to experience your life from the very first memory to the very last memory. And so through those memories, that's how you meet the mother and the parents growing up, that sort of thing. However, every time you blink, and I'm trying to find where that is. This is a very in-depth article about it. Mm-hmm. And so they're not actually talking. There it is. Along with the game's unique use of blinking, it's got a convincing narrative that works in tandem with the mechanic. Its storybook-style visuals help soften an otherwise tragic narrative that makes a child confront one of humanity's darkest fears. Huh. Interesting. I really, really need to play that. I need to look into and play that.
It's hard to tell that there's more to it without spoiling something. So there's a little bit more to it.
Yeah, I don't know. There probably is. I haven't really looked into that. I was watching after The Pedestrian, I was looking for like a review of it. I played it. And so I was like, let me go see what the review said about this. And I found devs react to speedruns of the game. And so I watched that for a little bit until I saw, like, the guy skip a massive amount of the game. And the devs were like, well, okay, so he just skipped a few hours of gameplay going straight here. And they started talking about, man, we did this to build up this thing because we kind of wanted to have this meta reveal thing. And so I stopped watching from there. I was like, well, I'm going to get to this and see that. So that's, I don't want to get spoiled. So, yeah. Anyway, we're behind. we need to take a break. This music is from a game called The Last Stand. It's called The Last Stand Aftermath, subtitled Aftermath. Mm-hmm. This is called Mountains, and we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Apparently this is music with, I guess they ripped it straight from the game itself. Happy's Humble Burger Farm is what this game is. It's called Start the Grill. I have no idea what it's about. I think it's published by the Tiny Build guys, I think. But I don't know anything about it.
Survival horror. Restaurant simulation survival horror. So kind of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Just at a restaurant and not a kid's thing? I don't know. Probably is exactly what it is.
Let's see here. Let's see. Congrats, you're hired. Serve customers and maintain the Happy's Humble Burger Farm restaurant alone on the overnight. But be careful. Things fall apart if you mess up. After work, head home and keep your eyes open for a way to escape the barnyard buds and their fast food fever dream.
Don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Five Nights at Freddy's clone or whatever. I mean, there's some disturbing imagery looking at the Steam page for it.
It skews in the horror.
Salmon nuggets.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Mmm, salmon nuggets.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do salmon croquettes. I mean, I can cook those, but salmon nuggets? What the? No, that's the same thing. Anyway, get off track.
That's all right. Let's talk. Let's first start talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, since that's the game I finished.
Okay.
Man, the start of it's a little weird. Your head, your whole whatever is used to these characters looking a bit different and sounding a bit different because of the films. They've gone through two of their own films and then, you know, one where they're mixed in with everybody else. And so you just sort of have this sense of like, this is how they sound, this is how they look. And when they don't look like that and when they don't sound like that, throws you off a bit.
Yeah, a little jarring.
It is. But that is, and so you're going to feel that when you crank up the game. Just play it a while. It'll go away. It really will. It'll go away to the point that whoever they got for Rocket and whoever they got for Drax sound fantastic. If not impression or doing an impression of the actors who play those parts, or maybe that just left my head and these settled in and became the default for the way they sounded. It was really, really good.
I love Drax.
Drax was great.
Peter Quill.
Yeah, he would always say Peter Quill. He would always use his full name. And the other character, I don't necessarily want to spoil it, because there's another character who shows up in the game, and his dialogue is amazing. It might be amazingly annoying after a while.
Flowery.
It is very, like, it's alliteration packed with rhyming, almost. So, I don't know, man, but if you don't care about spoilers, Google the guy who speaks in alliteration in the Guardians games, and you can look that up and listen to him all day. Because that was, every time that character showed up, I was waiting to hear what they were going to say and how they were going to say it and the way it was going to flow. I just was impressed with that. And it's not necessarily, I don't remember that being, then again, it's been a long time since I've read a comic book with that character in it before. So I was like, I don't know if that's like his shtick, like that's what he does. I can't remember. But it was really good. Groot is great too. That was one of the things, and it really only worked with Drax. But in a movie, you've got 2.5 hours at most to get to know your character. If your movie is about one single person, or even two, you can do that in 2.5 hours. If your movie contains main characters that are, how many is in Guardians? 5, I think? Yeah, it's 5 Guardians of the Galaxy. 4. Drax, Gamora, Groot, Peter, Rocket. There's 5. So anyway, you have 5. It's harder to get into the depths of those characters. It's hard to kind of put them all out there so that the player can absorb that, or so that the listener, the watcher, whatever, can absorb that and sort of feel a connection to those characters, because you really got to go. You got to be there. You got to spend some time with them, and you got to kind of do a deep dive there with them to understand the way that they are, why they do this, what is their motivation. And like, you can say, my motivation is dude killed my family, and so I'm out for revenge against him. That's great. That lets us know you're a warrior and you're on a revenge mission. Okay, but doesn't really get to the root of who that person is, or even was before this happened. Games allow you to do that. Games allow you to develop those characters on a much broader base, or specific basis, actually, not necessarily broad, but you can really zero in on these characters, their motivations, who they are, why they do what they do, how they got. Yes, Thar 66 says their best narrative award was well deserved. You're exactly right. there was a section where, and I don't even know if this was going to be triggered by me doing it. If, in other words, is it something I could have skipped? Could I just move on? But like me and Drax had this conversation, and it was more than I had known about Drax, you know, since I had known Drax ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done very well. And Drax is a specific character because I thought we were going to have to do all of this with every single character. We were going to get down to their fears, their hopes, all this stuff that they had before they joined the Guardians. And we're going to learn more about them. I thought it was going to be in that sense, you're going to do this with everyone. For the most part, it's really Drax that they focus on. And there's a reason they focus on Drax, because of what happens later on in the game. Still, it was very, very well done narrative combat-wise. That's the worst part of the game, to be honest with you, is the combat.
But that's not what you're playing the game for anyway.
You're not, but when they throw combat in, it's annoying.
Because it's bad, or because it gets deviates from the story?
It's bad.
It's bad? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the combat was on par with the storytelling that they were doing there, then you'd be fine with, you know, equal parts. Wouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, oh, combat section? This is great. I love this part. Oh, narrative section? This is great. I love this part. Instead, it's like, we get to talk for a while and search for things. Oh, combat, great. This, mm-hmm. You know, even when you approach a room where it's like, this is like, if we're going to have a fight in here, great. You know, the combat, and I'll tell you this as well. Combat is not hard. It is, you are completely fine going up against all these enemies that you go up against. There's no situation where, I don't remember there being a situation where I was just being frustrated by the combat at all.
Or stuck in a certain spot.
Nah, yeah, man. So that kind of puts it in another situation where it's like, well, now it's annoying. Because
yeah, I mean, I've been to places like that where I want to hurry up and get to the story, but I can't get there because the battle is getting too, I'm having to repeat this battle over and over and over again.
Mal, your mic's on, by the way, so if you feel like jumping in on anything, go right ahead. And I'm sorry I switched back from calling you Mal to Josh to whatever, because I see Mal on the screen, and I do remember your name is Josh, so whatever. It's just how my brain works. Anyway, having said that, the combat is the worst part of the game. The next to worst part of the game would probably be the, I don't want to say character animations, but the like the dialogue to syncing up.
Facial features,
yeah.
Mouth sync, yeah.
Yeah, there's some issues there.
We talking Kung Fu Theater?
Not that bad.
Okay.
Not that bad. That is like, if the combat is at the bottom of the barrel,
mm-hmm.
then this part that I'm talking about is, like, if that's a 1, the combat, then this dialogue thing's like a 7 on a scale of 10, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a minor nitpick on that one. Combat's the worst part of it.
Okay.
The level design, the level, the environment, artist, everything else, that's amazing. Every single planet you touch down on is one worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Every single planet that you touch down on is one that you will look around first, and I don't mean move your character around. I mean move the camera around first, looking at this environment and what they've done and how it looks, and just really, really cool. Really well done in that regard. The music's top-notch. That's great. There's that aspect of the combat when you do the whole huddle-up thing and you bust out a song and everybody goes berserk. That's nice, but rarely do you ever have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard that can get a little bit repetitive.
It totally can. The combat is massively repetitive. It is annoyingly repetitive. But the dialogue and the dialogue during combat is very repetitive.
It is.
By the third combat section that you've got to go, you've probably gone through most of their lines over and over and over again. Mm. So combat was a, let's see how fast I can finish this so I can get on with the story so that I don't have to hear them repeat these lines over and over and over again. Mm. And so that I can, you know, not have to worry about combat anymore. You know? So, yeah, the combat's not great. That's really my only complaint on it, is the combat. Everything else is like a nitpick if I have to. But the story was great, and it went in a direction that I did not expect it to go. It developed, especially Peter, it developed Peter's character 10 times what any of the films would do. And I know they're Marvel superhero films. I get that. You can have good character development in Marvel superhero films. It's rare that it does. Black Panther is a great one, but it's rare that it does it. But when it does it very well. But it's hard to do that when you've got a movie composed of 5 people that you need to kind of get down into their.
Yeah. It was the problem with the X-Men film. It was like there are so many members of the X-Men, you can't possibly have enough time in a movie to develop them properly.
It gives me the idea that if they took the Guardians of the Galaxy gameplay type situation and develop it for X-Men, pick us out 5 X-Men that we run around through, and that'd be great. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Again, the story was fantastic. The story and the climax of the story, and there were parts of the game that you had to do things that you're not programmed to do when you play games. And I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, you say you're not programmed to, or just something you're never done in gaming? Something
you're not really programmed to do this.
Hmm.
You're really not. You are programmed. In all the gaming that we've ever done in our lives, we are programmed to do what we do when we play games. And this game was like, hey, why don't you not do that? But you have to learn that. You have to learn that as you play through it. You have to learn that, oh, wait a second. It's expecting me to do this. I need to not do it. Yeah. I know this is vague. I know it's a little, wink, wink, nudge, nudge here that you don't know anything about, but I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who might be playing that.
Okay.
But the game was great. The game was fantastic. I would love more of this. I'm glad that we got what we got. I'm glad there's no plans for DLC. I'm glad there's no add-on stuff or anything like that. I'm very happy with what we got. Now I want more. So maybe it's not with Guardians. Maybe you just leave this alone and don't return. Because the story it tells in this is really good. The character development and what the characters have to go through, especially where Peter is involved, are great. The places that it takes the player, I think unfortunately for me, I either hit a bug or I just wasn't aware that I was supposed to do something during a scene. I kept having to replay this cutscene. I think 3... Yeah. The very end of the game, there is no fail state. There is no situation where the game ends and you're like, well, crap, I got the bad ending. I got to go back through it. No. There's not multiple endings like that. If you don't do it right at the end, it starts again at the cutscene and you go back through it again, to make your decisions and choices and things like that.
So you got a Groundhog Day situation?
No, not story-wise, no. It's not one of those things where the characters are aware that they're replaying this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those. Okay. You're aware of it because as a player, you made a bad choice. You need to go back and figure out. And I can't tell you why.
Okay, but basically just do it till you get it right.
Yeah, and it's going to let you know when you get it right.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wish I would have... I think I went through it like 3 times... What?
Is this on?
Yeah, the mic's on.
Oh, I didn't know if you turned me back on.
No. Your mic's on. Yeah. I think I went through that section like 3 times because there were dialogue options and there were like 3 sets. There were 3 sections of this cutscene where you had dialogue options to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if a combination of such would get you to where you needed to be. But I knew in my first thing, it came up too quick and I didn't read it and I picked the wrong thing. And I even knew when that happened, I was like, I know I've already picked the wrong thing. So when it got to it, it was like, wrong, start over.
Yeah.
So I did and I was like, okay, see, that's why I shouldn't have picked that. So I picked something else and it's, I don't know. It was...
There's only one path, and you got to pick the right dialogue choices through each one to get to the proper ending.
There is, but the negative path that you take is made very apparent in both the way that you were thinking as a player picking that dialogue choice, thinking, this is how I would respond to such a thing. Then the character that you're talking to will fire back at you and say, you know, and will tell you why you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will move on to the next section where you've got to make another choice. And you're like, well, maybe I should do this again. And it'll tell you again if you won't know for certain if you got it right, but you'll damn sure know you got it wrong.
Yeah.
So it flipped that. Yeah.
It's not what you would do. What would Peter do?
Yeah.
I would do this, but what will Peter do here?
There's good emotion going on in that section, and it would have been a better pull for me had I not messed up as many times as I did. Because by the third or fourth time that you're starting this cutscene over with, you suddenly don't care.
The impact is lessened.
Gone.
Yeah,
frustrated.
The impact is gone.
Because now you know what the reactions are going to be.
Yeah.
If you pick one of these other things, and so you're relegated to like, well, here's my choice.
And by the time you get to the proper decision, it's like the it ain't there no more.
It's not.
You're like, finally.
But that's not bad. That I can't, you know what? I can't say that it still didn't work. It had a bigger impact. It still had an impact.
Yeah.
Because what these characters were going through was like that's a real thing, man. It's a really very emotional thing, both with what Peter was going through and both with the character Peter was talking to, what they were going through. And they just did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
Even the facial animations, now I told you that the lip sync was off a little bit, but the facial animations of some of the things that the conversations that Peter would have with the other characters. You play as Peter, by the way.
Yeah.
That is it. When you're in combat or anything else, you're not playing any of the other characters. You don't switch. You don't pick other characters to play as. You are Peter. You're leading this team. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes through with him. So I was just thoroughly impressed with this little game that had not been on a lot of people's radars, given what had happened with Square Enix, because they were the publishers, given with what happened with their last Marvel outing, which was Avengers, did not do well, was not good at all.
Yeah.
I think people's radar was turned off for this. They just, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that Avengers case was a case of like Marvel, one person messing up for everybody. Now Marvel's so bad, it's like, I don't want to touch anything Marvel related for a minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, this was developed by Eidos Montreal, which is, they've done some fantastic stuff. But yeah, man, just a really great game. I urge anybody who is even halfway into that or halfway thinking about it to go ahead. You will not be disappointed. You just need to understand the combat's a little off, and you need to let your ears and your eyes get used to what you're seeing and hearing from these characters, because they're not movie, they're not stylized off the actors.
Mm-mm.
Otherwise, it'd be a lot of money they'd have to pay to do that to get licensing for the image of these people.
Yeah, I think I saw a screenshot of Gamora, and I think she looks more like her character build in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 than anything else. Because she's a character in that game,
okay.
And she looks closer to that than anything else.
This is the first time I've seen them in game form.
Mm-hmm.
Or Rocket with the goatee.
Yeah, Rocket's got that little goatee, which got a little Groot bead thing that he's.
I think Groot's in that game too. I mean, not Groot. Rocket Raccoon's in that game too.
Yeah. Rocket,
Marvel Capcom 3.
Yeah, Rocket's in. Well, he's in the
Marvel Capcom 3.
He's in Guardians as well. He's got a little Groot face on his little. Whatever, his goatee that he's braided and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, God, Rocket was great. The entire cast was great. I mean, it was really, really good game. Really good game. So, yeah, that's my praise for Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Just a fantastic game. We have to take another break. So that I come out and spend 30 more minutes to talk about Hellblade. I'll try not to take as long because I haven't beat that game, and most of my comments on Hellblade are going to probably skew a little negative. I don't want them to. Well, let me put it this way. They're skewing negative on some technical basis. Yeah.
not narrative basis, not story basis, definitely not the way the game looks. Thing's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's more on a technical side of gameplay type thing. Anyway, we'll get to that when we come back. Here's music from a game called Dauntless. This is Thrax theme. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Evil Genius 2. Yeah, this one's a bit Evil Genius-y. Yeah, you got it right, Nabokov. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I want to jump into my Hellblade discussion just real quick. I am not very... Well, you know, I say that. If I'm going by the way this game tells backstory... Basically, like you're playing when you're playing Hellblade, you're playing Senua's story. And there are these runes all over the place that you can focus on, and mm-hmm. it'll start telling you backstory. Basically, it's a lot of Norse mythology, which is great. I love that. So it shows me the runes. The neat little thing is that in every section, you can tell which section you're in every time you come upon one of these runestones. It has a circle, and of course, whenever you start listening to it, that one lights up, and it shows you which ones you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got this big circle around these things, and according to what I played last night, I think I'm about halfway through, because there's only half of the circle left for me to go. To get this backstory stuff. I could be completely wrong. I have no idea.
Mm.
I still feel like I'm early in the game. But apparently not, just the halfway point. I don't know how long this game actually is. Or what people have said it is, but I'm basically playing this game blind. I know that it is about mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I know it has to do with that, and it's set in a Viking Norse setting. I know it's Ninja Theory. I know it's more cinematic than it is anything else. It's more of a, we want you to understand this story more than we want you to do almost anything else, you know? I had combat set to where it'll scale based on... Like, it would see how well I do with combat, and it would adjust as I play.
Mm-hmm. Adaptive?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I finally switched that one to easy, because mm-hmm. I got tired. I mean, I was dying a lot.
How many hits were you taking before?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. Problem with that is that the game gives you no prompts on how to do anything. To know how to swing my sword, to know how to dodge, to know how to block, to know how to do a strong hit as opposed to a quick hit, I had to pause the game and go to my controls to look at that because there is nothing.
There's no tutorial at
there
the beginning.
There is nothing.
There's no, well, I was about to ask, there's no...
there is nothing.
Instruction guide in the CD, in the case,
well,
in the game case.
Yeah, I downloaded this Game Pass. I don't actually have the game. But even still, I think I own this on Steam as well, which never came with a case or an instruction booklet or anything like that.
I want those back, by the way.
There is nothing to tell you what to do. Absolutely nothing. I've played games like that before, and I've fared better than I have with Hellblade.
Maybe it's in the background. Nothing obvious. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, there's nothing. I was mashing. When you get thrown into your first fight, they don't pause the game and say, well, you do this to make this, you know, press your Y button to do a strong attack.
Yeah, I get what you're saying,
press
but I'm trying
the right bumper to parry
yeah,
or
I
whatever.
I get what you're saying. There's nothing obvious. That's what we've been used to all this time.
Mm-mm.
And I haven't played the game. I have the game, but I haven't started playing it yet. So
there's nothing.
There's nothing.
Man, there's nothing to tell you anything about that.
I can't see it not being in there and it's still going out.
There's
no
nothing
one's saying anything about that.
There's nothing to tell you where to go either. There is no waypoint. There's nothing. I got lost the other day. We finished one section. I finished a section. You come upon a door, and in order to get through this door, you have to go fight two gods that are in two doors behind you, you know?
Okay.
One door leads to one god, another door leads to another god. And as you go through there, it's like playing a whole section of the game type thing just to get to that god so you can fight him and then, you know, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get through there, and I'll start with, what was his name? The fire god. Not Ember, but Soot. Surt.
S-U-R-T?
Yes.
Surt.
I was like,
Surtur?
Yes. I was like, flames... Ash, soot, cert.
Okay.
That's how my head works. Nabokov asks, they don't have anything even in the pause menu for controls? Yes, they do. That's where the controls are in your pause menu. That's where I had to look, which sucks to look at that and then get back into combat and be like, oh, God, I've already forgotten what the control was. And so I have to go back to the pause. I'm gonna have to boot this up
myself and look because I can't imagine that would be the only I haven't seen that really, unless it was like an older game that had an instruction manual, because the game I know you have to look at things in the background, the things your perception mm-hmm. is like off. I'm just guessing. This is just random guess on my part. I'm thinking there's something like in the backgrounds that's there that you don't. If you're not looking for it, you're not going to see it.
By all means, play it so that
I'm going to see if I can find this out. Because I'm thinking there's something in the background that's telling you, like something etched on a rock somewhere that says, do this to do this or something like that.
Yeah.
Because like I get what you're saying. Because I've been used to seeing some bright prompt at the top of the screen saying, this button does this. This bumper does this.
The only bright prompt I get, and it's not even a prompt. So obviously, Senua has voices in her head that she listens to, and they speak to you and stuff. So I put on subtitles, thank mm-hmm. God, because the only kind of thing I get at the top during combat is when one of my voices will tell me to watch out behind me. Because if there's an enemy behind me, that's the other thing. There is no, once you're in combat.
Yeah.
The right stick is how you focus. There is no lock-on. Like, the right stick moves your focus to that combatant. And that is it. Unless you change your focus, you're going to be stuck on him until you kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to block the guy that's coming at your side, you need to be focused on him. Not a block against the guy in front of you is not going to block the guy that's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to be focused on whoever's around there, which is why anytime I killed one of them, I would make sure that I would get to an edge of the playfield so that they would always be in front of me, nobody behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do the same thing. As soon as once that was done and I killed one of those, I'd rush to the other side if I was closer, turn around so that I could see everybody on the field looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually have a problem with the combat. Once you know the controls, I actually kind of enjoy the combat.
Yeah.
It's fun to try and time your blocks because, you know, if you get a good block, it slows things down and you can do a nice, you know,
parry and riposte,
something like that, or
because you don't have a shield, you just have a sword, right?
You have a sword, and at some point you get this like special ability that will slow down everybody else but you so that you can make some attacks. It's like a bullet time thing, but it's not very much.
Perception thing, yeah, for the mental issues that she's going through.
Yeah, it's not very much, but you get it. Going back to Soot. So I had to go through all this stuff to get to him, and once I beat him, you don't get teleported back. There's no shortcut to get back to the main place to go either to the other door or through the main door.
Mm-hmm.
You have to backtrack. I don't know how many times I went in a loop because I couldn't figure out at this point, you know, where did I go when I was here? I'd look to the left, look to the right. I couldn't figure out how to get out. There's nothing to guide you. That's their intention to put in there. And I get it for whatever reason. I understand that they're trying to make this a minimalistic thing. They want you to focus on the story and the character. They want you focusing on some HUD. There is no HUD. You'd have no life bar or anything like that. There absolutely is nothing there to show you what your health is or what you're carrying or your life stuff. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing on the screen but you and everything else, or the other characters or the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time that happened. And then I went through and I last night I was playing and I couldn't. They put me into a room. There was a battle. And once that battle was over with, I was left to figure out the puzzle of the room. And I just could not. Turns out there was a door I did not see. And it took me forever to find that door. Once I did, it opened up more for me. But it was still this.
Getting to the door was an issue.
Yeah, man. They could have highlighted the door, made it, you know, shimmer or something so that I know that's a path.
No, that goes against a minimalistic thing.
It does. Even when I was, even after I'd fought that god and found my way back, I was looking, like you said, environmental cues. I was looking for the cauldrons that were lit, and I thought if I follow those, that probably takes me back where I need to go. But I'm pretty sure it didn't, because I thought, let's make sure I'm going the right way. That's a lit cauldron. Okay, I'm going through. Nope, I'm back where I started again, and then just
So nothing is obvious. You've got to look and search for everything in this game.
I mean, yeah, but there's no hidden things. You know what I'm saying? There's no reward for exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? There's no deviation from the path.
Mm-hmm.
There was.
I say obvious. I mean, nothing flashing. Say go here.
Right.
You're just gonna have to look.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even so, it's in plain sight. You just wouldn't know until you get up on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me take another example. Was once I found this door, I went through the door, and there was another locked door, which is part of the gameplay mechanic. I found one of those where you look at runes on a door, and you have to make those runes appear in the section that you're in, mm-hmm. by doing perception lineups where, you know, certain things focus to look like.
Yeah, you got to get your perspective right.
Very echochrome for those who may have played that, or M.C. Escher-esque in a sense, to where things line up and become new pathways type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'll think about that scene in Indiana Jones, the third one, where
it
looks invisible until you look at it at a different angle and there's an actual bridge there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vaguely, yes. Yeah. But so I go through this door and I find another rune, a story rune, and I listen to that. Now, normally, it's almost pretty clear which way you need to go, but there was this drop down to get on a boat so that I could get a different perspective of the area that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
first glance, I was like, I can't go through there. This is, they blocked me off. There's another section that you can't get to that boat from.
Mm.
It looks like you could, but you can't. And so I guess my brain was telling me, well, you probably can't do it from here either. And so it took me a while before I walked back over there. I was like, oh, there's steps here I can go down. It just, I don't know. None of the, I don't know. I have my issues with the game. It's beautiful. I love the story. The technical issues that I'm talking about are really bothering me. Mm. Really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that I'm close enough to a point where a lot of this is going to stop for a while. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a much more straightforward type thing.
No, from what I gathered, I think it gets worse.
Yeah, maybe.
From what I hear, from what I've been hearing about it, not actually playing it. I'm going to have to change that soon. But
please do.
Her perceptions get worse from what I hear. So I'm expecting more of the same.
Yeah. Well, I would love to hear what you think about it.
Yeah.
So please, please do.
Okay.
Now we only have 10 minutes left, and I have no news to talk about because there's not enough to... I mean, there's plenty of news to talk about.
I'm about to say, after 2 weeks?
But I only have 10 minutes to do it. I can't do that.
Well, pick one that sticks out to you.
I'm going to have to play Hades. It's not something I was putting off. It's just one of those things where... What is it? Supergiant Games, I think, that did that?
Mm.
Yeah, it's Supergiant Games that did... Hades. And so
Hades is great.
I, you know, aren't they the same people that made Bastion?
Yep.
See, that's okay. Bastion is kind of, God, I hate to be Mr. Negative over here all the time. It took me a while before I ever got around to playing Bastion. In between the time that Bastion released and the time that I got to play it, I was inundated. Especially early on, inundated with, like, this is a great game, man. This is a really good game. It's great. And then I played it. I wasn't all that thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there.
It didn't do anything for me.
Final Fantasy comes to mind.
Yeah. And Supergiant really hasn't had a miss. Every single game that they've made so far has just been something they've knocked out of the park, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And here's Hades winning the very first... or it's the first video game to win a Hugo Award literary prize, which is like, okay, that means story. I love a good story, and this is probably something I should play. I just hope
you can make the game easier for you as well. There's an option for that.
Oh, is it genuinely tough or something? I have no idea.
It's like a roguelike, so it can get pretty tough, especially towards the end.
Oh, wonderful. Hmm. Well, it's on Game Pass. I might give it a go, maybe after I finish up Pedestrian, I suppose. Trying to kind of not throw too much on my plate here as I go. I'm already working on, what, Destiny, Hellblade, Pedestrian, Mass Effect. There's another one that I downloaded that sounded really great. I don't know if it's called We Were Here or... I don't know. There was a big... apocalyptic thing and you have to rebuild the city. It's a city builder. And I can't remember the name of it. But it's on Game Pass. I downloaded it. I haven't started it up or anything.
I hadn't heard of the Hugo Award. I just looked it up. I mean,
it's an annual literary award for the best science fiction or fantasy works of the year. And Hades won it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be a book, just have a good sci-fi story. Sci-fi fantasy story. Okay.
Yeah. So that might be another one I jump into after Pedestrian. I feel like I don't know how far I am at Pedestrian. I don't know how much more I have. Actually, I do know because you can do a level select. You can go back and play old levels you finished.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm about halfway on that one, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there's a lot more to play.
Right. Yes.
Is it like a time thing? Like how fast can you solve this puzzle, that type of thing?
Nah.
No? Okay.
Nah. I have a...
See, because that's why you usually see the replay this level thing again, like a get a better time or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, you can. There's speedrunners who do it, but I'm not into it. Basically, what I like to do with a level is I like to have a... like when you walk into a new level, you need to move the pieces around and set your game up and do your thing.
Yeah.
You can do that by trial by error, by setting things up and saying, maybe this will work.
and then you go through it and you realize, nope, that didn't work. I had to reset. I like to have mine fluid as much as I can. In other words, once I take control of my character to go through what I've just set up, I like it to be all in like one single run from start to the end. Where I can. There was a puzzle I ran into just the other night that required me to enter a panel, pause, move some stuff around to line things up again, go back into it, and then go from there. It was deliberately done that way. I'm almost positive. I don't think there was. I don't think there's any way I could have made that a fluid run without having to do that. So, but yeah, the puzzles get more elaborate, more intense. You have more pieces to the puzzle, that sort of thing. So, but yeah. Anyway, that's what I'll look into doing. What are you going to be playing there, Josh?
Probably more Deep Rock Galactic until Elden Ring comes out.
Oh, man. When is that? May? February?
February. End of February. 25th, I think.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure that's going to happen?
So far, it didn't change. So it already changed once from January to February.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. So Hades did that. What else do we have? Oh, man, I would love to go over the biggest gaming disappointments of 2021. I'd love to do biggest gaming controversies, but it's probably all going to fall on Activision Blizzard. GoldenEye achievements popped up on Xbox for some reason. What did we have for that? Let me look at this as soon as this loads for you. Let's see. Achievement pictures and a GoldenEye 007 thumbnail appeared online, adding to speculation that the N64 game might be headed to Xbox in the future. There are a total of 55 achievements worth 1,000 gamer score, according to leak. Was GoldenEye on the N64? That was Rare, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Doesn't Microsoft own Rare?
They do.
But I'm guessing was it GoldenEye 64? Is that what it was called?
I think it was, yeah.
I'm wondering if they've had to change that and just called it GoldenEye 007.
Yeah, it was.
Because I believe Microsoft owns Rare, so I would imagine that they may, unless Nintendo owns that, I don't know.
I see it popping up as GoldenEye 007 when I looked it up. From 1997, right?
Yeah.
GoldenEye 007 is a 1997 first-person shooter developed by Rare, published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. Yeah.
2022, this year, marks the 60th anniversary of the James Bond franchise. So maybe they're going to be doing a remaster, re-release, something like that. Or maybe it's a really crappy movie tie-in game that you're going to get free or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
For the character, who knows?
They remake it. what is it? What was the dude's name? Odd Job. That everyone used was broken.
Yeah. He was very broken.
Yeah.
And I don't think they ever patched it either. Because you couldn't patch it. It was cartridge based. Yeah. Done.
No, he's just broken. That's all. All you could do is ban him in competition.
Yeah. And finally, well, not finally, but finally for tonight, E3 is going online only. So kind of expected that.
Yeah.
But yeah, after everything. Hey, Josh, thanks for showing up, man, and chatting with us on Discord, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Enjoy your castle.
Oh, I will.
We'll talk to you later, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good, see ya.
We're going to go too, by the way. That is it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and listening to us on the radio as well. Thanks, all of you who joined in the chat room. We had Stephen Van Damme, Sofikal, Nabokov, Lethal Migraine, Caxips06, Evan04111, Drug Degenerates, Commander Root, A10, AC Wraith, About W. Thank you guys for being there. We really do appreciate it. Join us on Discord, subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitch and everything else. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next weekend. This is its chorus's main theme again. I don't know why that's there. That shouldn't be there, but oh well, we don't have enough time.